أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أحمد الله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ثم أما بعد، أيها الأحبة في الله، أحييكم بتحية الإسلام، فسلام الله عليكم ورحمته وبركاته. مرحبا بكم جميعا في درس جديد من دروس السيرة في حياة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. توقفنا في المرة الماضية عند زواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من السيدة خديجة بنت خويلد رضي الله عنها وأرضاها، وقلنا أن هذا الزواج كان يعني نموذج فريد في حسن الجوار وحسن العلاقة بين الرجل وزوجه. يعني وصلت المرحلة إلى درجة حتى أن الله عز وجل أرسل سلاماً خاصاً لأم المؤمنين خديجة. سبحان الله، يعني لم يحظى بهذا الفضل وهذا الكرم أحد من البشر على الإطلاق إلا خديجة رضي الله عنها وأرضاها، أن الله أرسل لها سلاماً خاصاً. حتى أم المؤمنين عائشة مع أنها أحب نساء النبي إلى قلبي، لكن سيدنا جبريل سلم عليها، لكن لم يرسل الله سلاما لأحد من البشر إلا لأم المؤمنين خديجة رضي الله عنها وأرضاها. وتحدثنا في المرة الماضية عن مناقب السيدة خديجة وكيف أن هذا الزواج استمر يعني فترة طويلة من الزمن، وأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يشعر في حياته كلها مع خديجة رضي الله عنها وأرضاها ولا مرة أنه شعر بتأفف أو تحرج أو شعر بشعور كما يشعر به الأزواج، خاصة إذا كانت الزوجات لهن فضل عليهم. تجد الإنسان يعني سبحان الله ربما يشعر بشيء من الضجر أو من التأفف أو من الحرج إذا ما كان لزوجته يد فضل عليه، لكن هذا لم يحدث للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على الإطلاق. We stopped last time for the session for the seerah. And the time that Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم married the mother of believer, السيدة خديجة, may Allah be pleased with her and all the companions of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We were talking last time about مناقب السيدة خديجة, how she treated our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم in her marriage. She was 40 years old and he was 25 years old. There is 15 years between them, but she never, you know, gave a hint or a sign to Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم that she, you know, provided him with the money and the wealth, and she did a lot of help for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She never mentioned that on front of him. And in the other hand, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he appreciated that too much, even after she passed away. You know, Sayyida Aisha تقول, I never feel jealous with anyone except with the Khadija. Even they never meet in their life. She passed away long time, but you know, because Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم always talking about Khadija, and this is what we need to learn. If our wives did something good for us, We have to appreciate that. We have to mention that. We have to, you know, say at least thank you. Jazakallah khair. May Allah reward you. May Allah help you out, like you helping me all this time. You know, we are human. We are bashar. يعني لا بد أن يكون هناك يعني شكر. ولذا قال صلى الله عليه وسلم من لا يحمد الناس لا يحمد الله سبحانه وتعالى. The one who is not able to praise and to thank people, he will not be able to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to train ourselves how to thank others and to be able to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that. We were talking about the manaqib, you know, the honoring for As-Sayyida Khadija from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what it was mentioned by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam with the hadith that anything Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will say for us, we have to take it, we have to accept it, and we have to believe in it. And this is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that Khadija radiallahu anha ardaha, she was the first woman accepted Islam, and the second person after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted Islam. We talked last time about this. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam honored her, and he never got married from any other woman in her life. Period. Just, and it will give us also a clear point. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was young, 25 years old, and he stayed with the Khadija radiallahu anha wa ardaha 25 years in his marriage, because he spent in his life 38 years. You know, 25 of these 38 of his marriage life, he spent 25 of them with the Khadija radiallahu anha wa ardaha, and he never even think about has other wife with her. Subhanallah. It's not because this is forbidden in Islam, but because, you know, it was really a good way to appreciate for somebody who helped you out and who supported you and who stayed behind you to defend you and to push you to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is that we have to understand that. Unfortunately, we are dealing with the situations today, especially for, you know, when you have a daughter and you offer your daughter for somebody from overseas, or the one who is not legal in United States, just to help him out to get married and to have to change his status with the immigration, you know, after a while, subhanAllah, they change their color. They used to kiss the hand and say, you know, okay, I will do, very nice, very kind person. And suddenly, he changed 100%. Why? Because he doesn't need help from her or her family anymore. And this is really not good. Allah Azza Jal يقول, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. You know, even if there is no something written between you and your wife or your family, your wife's family, you know, but you said it's enough. Allah Azza wa Jalla يقول وَأَوْفُوا بِالْعَهْدِ إِنَّ الْعَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْهُولًا. You have to fulfill your promise, because Allah will ask you in the Day of Judgment about your promise. Even if you promise Allah by yourself, no one listen to your promise, and you still, it's a requirement for you to fulfill your promise with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometime we'll say, you know, nobody heard me, alhamdulillah, you know, just remain silent and let it go. No. If you promise to do something, you have to do it. There is no excuse. Unless if you are excused or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave excuse for you, it's okay. But I mentioned this because I'm dealing with some cases right now really I was surprised when I heard, you know, the brothers, he was so kind, so nice. I said to myself, mashallah, he's very nice brother, mashallah. Later on, it's not one case or two or three, more than this. And the same result. Really, I'm confused. And we claim that we following Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Made between the spouses, between husband and wife. And when somebody stretch his hand to help you out, you should not bite it. You have to kiss it. And you have to appreciate what he did or what she did for you. And this is, you know, we studying about the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, not to waste our time. We need to learn. We need to have a lessons from his life, because we claim that we are his followers, and we have to find how he used to deal with these different matters in his life, and we will apply the same matters for ourselves and for our families. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. كان يكثر من ذكرها حتى بعد موتها رضي الله عنه وارضاه. He used to mention her name so much, every time, every occasion, every subhanallah. Khadija, this is the friend of Khadija, this is the, you know, the family of Khadija, this is the sister of Khadija, subhanallah. And this is, you know, it's out of love and out of respect. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that, you know, the love for Khadija, it was a provision from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was rizq. And when you feel that your wife loves you, you have to prostrate yourself. You have to make sujood. Because when you really have a chance to find somebody loves you, you know, this is a good sign to not to be stressed in your life. Not to be in hardship condition. When you find somebody really loving you and helping you out, and you have to be thankful to return back in the same way, even more. Well, how the Quran taught us, وَإِذَا حَيِّيتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنَا بَدَأَ بِالْأَحْسَنِ. At least أَوْرُدُّوهَا. When you find somebody treating you in nice way, you have to return back to him or to her in the best way, not in the same way. At least you have to return back in the same way. This is how Prophet Muhammad ﷺ mentioned that أن حبه لها كان رزقا من الله رزقه الله إياه. وهذا تكلمنا عنه أيضا في المحاضرة السابقة. أن الله عز وجل أرسل إليها سلاما خاصا وأمر مع جبريل عليه السلام وأمر نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يبشرها ببيت من قصب. قلنا القصب هذا هو يعني حجر الياقوت لا صخب فيه ولا نصب، يعني لا 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 صوت مرتفع ولا تعب، لا ضجج فيه ولا تعب في هذا البيت. هو بيت. طب يقول العلماء، لماذا أرسل الله سلاما خاصا مع جبريل يبلغه لحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ يقول لك، يعني ده عند العرب من هذه من اللطائف. يقول لك لما تكون تزور واحد في بيته ويعني سبحان الله عايز حتى لو أنك تعرف زوجته وأردت أن تتكلم إليها ليس من الأدب أن تتكلم إليها رأسا بل تتكلم إليها عن طريق زوجها أو عن طريق أبيها أو عن طريق أخيها. سبحان الله هذا من شيم الأخلاق. فيقول لك يعني سيدنا جبريل عليه السلام لا يمكن يفكر في شهوة ولا غير لأنهم لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون، لكنه من باب الأدب مع حبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أبلغ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن الله يرسل سلاما خاصا لخديجة وأني أرسل لها سلاما خاصا أيضا. سبحان الله. فهذا يعني من شيم الأخلاق ألا يتحدث الرجل إلى المرأة رأسا وإنما بواسطة أبيها أو زوجها أو أخيها أو ابنها. وهذا يعلمنا من هذا الحديث أن كان من السهل أن جبريل عليه السلام يخبر يعني خديجة عليها رضي الله عنها في حضرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، لكنه أبلغه قال هذه خديجة جاءت بإناء فيه طعام أو فيه إدام أو فيه ماء، أبلغها أن الله يبلغها السلام وأني أبلغها السلام. ولما جاءت قال صلى الله عليه وسلم الله يبلغك السلام وجبريل يبلغك السلام، فقالت إن الله هو السلام، فكانت فقيها قالت إن الله هو السلام، لم تكن على الله السلام لأن الله هو منبع السلام لأن الله اسمه السلام، فقالت إن الله هو السلام وعلى جبريل السلام وعليك يا رسول الله السلام. ولذلك من السنة لما واحد يقول لك فلان أخوك بيسلم عليك تقول إيه؟ عليك وعليه السلام. سبحان الله تعلمناها منين؟ من هذا الحديث إن الخير ينشر، تنشر الخير على حتى السلام، انشر على قدر ما تستطيع. ها تعلمنا من حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Also Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned that Allah سبحانه وتعالى gave glad tidings to the mother of believers خديجة رضي الله عنها وأرضاها with جبريل عليه السلام. And Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم gave the glad tidings to السيدة خديجة that Allah sent a special salam for her and Allah built a house from diamond in paradise. There is no noise or tiredness in this house. It's enjoyable a place for her, especially to enjoy her life in paradise. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد. الإمام السهيلي يقول لذكر البيت هنا لطائف. ليه الله عز وجل بشر السيدة خديجة ببيت ولم يقل قصر؟ قالوا كلمة البيت لها معنى لأن أم المؤمنين خديجة كانت ربة بيت، ربة منزل. وأنا ذكرتها في المرة الماضية ربما يستحي بعض الأخوات ربما يستحين أنهن يعني ربات بيوت، هذا شرف للمرأة، هذا من أصعب الأعمال أن تكون المرأة زارعة تزرع لكن لا تزرع الزرع بل تزرع الرجال، تربي الرجال، رجال الأمة على يد المرأة تبني للأمة رجالها. فهي الله عز وجل ذكر كلمة البيت يعني تطييبا لخاطرها، عايز يقول للسيدة خديجة لا تحزني أنك ربت بيت، مع أنها كانت تاجرة كبيرة كانت يعني من أثرياء مكة والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يعمل في مالها قبل الزواج منها، يعني هي لا تحتاج أن تكون ربت بيت لكنها آثرت هذه المنقبة أن تربي أبنائها ويعني تهتم بزوجها وتنهي شؤون بيتها. هذا منقبة، هذه منقبة عظيمة للنساء، لأخواتنا النساء يعني. فلا تستمعين لبعض المغرضات أنهم يريدون تحريرك، تحريرك من أي شيء. أنت يعني كما يقولون قوة المرأة في ضعفها ولينها، يعني عشان المرأة تكون قوية جدا لازم تكون لينة ولازم تكون ضعيفة. هذا قوة، هذا كيف الله عز وجل خلقنا. لكن إذا استرجلت المرأة ووضعت رأسها برأس زوجها، الحياة تختل، ستختل موازين الحياة. الإمام السهيلي he mentioned that the wisdom why Allah سبحانه وتعالى mentioned the word of the bayt, the house, and he didn't say قصر, the palace. He said because the word of bayt, because the mother of believers, she used to work as a house worker. She used to work at her home for her children and for her husband. And this is big honor for woman to work at home. More protection for her. She will be the queen of the house. She will be the in charge person inside the house. You know, any details inside the house, this is belongs to her, not belongs to the husband. Husband will work hard outside. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجِسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. برضو كلمة البيت. Also the word of bayt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. When this verse was revealed, Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم called his daughter Fatima and her husband Ali والحسن والحسين رضي الله عن الجميع. فَجَلَّلَهُمْ بِكِسَاء. He helped them out to have a nice dress, very beauty dress. And he raised his hand and said, اللهم هؤلاء أهل بي أهل بيتي. Oh Allah, those are my family. Fatima and her husband Ali and Al-Hasan and Hussein, you know, their children. And these are the family of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Also, what is the wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that the house that Allah has built for Khadija in paradise has no loud voice and has no fatigue or no tiredness? Why? It's very peaceful atmosphere. They're very nice, enjoyable time in that house. Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani mentioned, and he said, because Khadija, she did not give Prophet Muhammad ﷺ hard time at all. And subhanAllah, we might have some wives, you know, this is their experience in life. They learn how to make their husbands really mad or just sad. This is their goal in the life. I'm not talking about our sisters here tonight. You know, just we need to go home, you know, with a peaceful condition, inshallah. No, there is some, wallahi, because I get involved into some cases. Subhanallah, the wife look like crazy. When you talk, you know, this is what Allah mentioned. This is what, no. I have no relation with this one. Subhanallah, why you called yourself that you are Muslim? Why? You have to respect what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran or what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in a hadith. Sayyida Khadija, she never gave Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam hard time. And this is the idea. And this is the mukafa'a. This is the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When she heard about Islam, she was the first one convert to Islam. She was the first one accepted Islam. And after that, she was very rich. And she never make Prophet Muhammad down in any time in her life. And when she heard about Islam, she didn't need Prophet Muhammad to raise his voice to tell her, you know, about the new religion that he came with. And this is the reward from Allah. فَلَمْ تَحْتَاجْ لِرَفْعِ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَلَا مُنَازَعَ وَلَا تَعَبْ بَلْ أَزَالَتْ عَنْهُ كُلَّ تَعَبْ رضي الله عنها وأرضاها وآنسته من كل وحشة وهونت عليه كل عسير فناسبها ذلك الجزاء من الله سبحانه وتعالى. And for us, when we do something really in our life good, and we have to expect the good reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't expect from somebody around you, because they are limited. Even if they are able to reward you, also they have limit. But when you expect your reward from Allah only, there is no limit with Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appreciate what you have done for the sake of Him. And what you did for your wife, you did for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also for wives, what they did for their husband, they have to do it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because if the husband changed his mind later on, she will not feel bad. Because already she did for the sake of Allah. Like the cases that I was talking about in the beginning of the lecture, you know, they just make themselves, they were acting very kindly and nicely until they had the marriage certificate and they applied for the immigration. And since they got the green card or the citizenship, you know, the problem started. What's going on? You know, because she did not make this and did not make it. Why you did not complain when you had nothing before? And this is not from shiam al-akhlaq. This is not from a good manner. This is very bad sign. When the person, when somebody really trusted you and gave you his daughter or her daughter, you know, there is no more important for the dad or mom more than their child, their daughter. If you gave your daughter to somebody else, means that you love him so much. You cut piece of your body and you gave to him. Yeah. And some parents, they said, we're gonna write the dowry, you know, $50,000 or 100, say $1 million. Nothing. Because, you know, I gave you a piece of my body, my daughter. This is, you know, it's priceless. Even if you say I will pay $100,000, it's nothing. But when you really treat her in nice way and make her happy all the time, help her out to be a good Muslim, this is the mukafa. This is the reward that you return it back to the parents or to the father and mother especially. Yep. Also, المنقبة التي بعد ذلك كان صلى الله عليه وسلم يرتاع لسماع صوت من يشبه صوتها رضي الله عنها وارضاها. في للسيدة خديجة أخت اسمها ما اسمها؟ هالة. أخت السيدة خديجة اسمها هالة. Her name is هالة. السيدة عائشة narrated the hadith. She said, in one day, هالة بنت خويلد, you know, the sister of خديجة, she knocked on the door. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recognized her voice. And he remembered the voice of Khadija when she used to ask Prophet Muhammad permission to enter into his place. Subhanallah. فارتاع لذلك صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال اللهم هالة. You know, زي ما يبقى الواحد when you really have a wish for something to happen, to say, oh Allah, please make this happen. And Sayyida Aisha, she narrated the hadith and she said, when Prophet Muhammad heard the voice of Hala, and you know, like look like if you was busy with something and suddenly something happened and you will pay attention. Wow, what's going on? Did you hear what I hear? Yeah, and this was the voice of Hala, the sister of Khadija radiallahu anhuma وعن الصحابة أجمعين. استأذنت هالة بنت خويلد على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فعرف استئذان خديجة. نفس الصوت, the same level of the voice, سبحان الله. فعرف استئذان خديجة فارتاع لذلك. يعني زي لما يكون الواحد مثلا عنده حد في عيلته توفاه الله عز وجل, الوالد او الوالده او حد من العائله, وفي حد من قريب من العائله صوته يشبه هذا الصوت, فياتي يستاذن من خارج البيت, والانسان سبحان الله للحظات ربما يظن ان هذا صوت والده او والدته لبعض الله, وبعدين يدرك مؤخرا ان والده قد مات او ان والدته قد مات, هذا شخص اخر لكن يشبه صوت. هذا ما فعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالضبط. فارتاع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لذلك فقال اللهم هالة. فغرت, سيدة عائشة تقول حتى يعني صوت اللي يشبه صوت خديجة. فقلت ما تذكر من عجوز حمراء الشدقين هلكت في الدهر. سبحان الله. يعني السيدة عائشة تقول انت يعني لسه فاكر السيدة خديجة, خلاص ده هي كانت حمراء الشدقين, معناها انها كانت امرأة عجوز, وحمراء الشدقين حينما يكبر الانسان تسقط اسنانه ويظهر ينو لسه اللي فيها الاسنان, حمراء الشدقين هلكت في الدهر, خلاص ماتت وخلاص وخلصنا, يعني الله عز وجل ابدلك خيرا منها. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من باب رد الجميل يعني قال ولم لا, يعني فقد صدقتني حين كذبني الناس, وقد واستني حين منعني الناس, ورزقني الله منها الولد إذ منعني الولد من سائر النساء. وهنا العلماء يقولون فيه دلالة على حسن العهد وحفظ الود ورعاية حرمة الصاحب والمعاشر حيا وميتا وإكرام معارف الصاحب. سبحان الله. يعني والله يا أخوانا إن لم نتعلم من هذه العلاقة التي كانت بين حبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وبين زوجه خديجة رضي الله عنها وارضاها, إن لم نتعلم إلا هذه الأخلاق الحميدة, شيم الأخلاق هذه, والله لو أننا طبقنا ذلك في حياتنا وفي بيوتنا لعشنا في أهنأ حال وفي أطيب مقال. لكن للأسف الشديد حينما تحدث مشكلة وينفث الشيطان ويبيض ويفرخ في البيت, الدنيا تقوم ولا تقعد, والنار يعني كلما أردت أن تطفئها يعني أشعلتها زيادة, لأن الشيطان يفرح حينما يحدث الخلاف بين الزوجين. يعني الحديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذكر أن الشيطان يرسل سراياه, يعني الجنود بتوعه في كل يوم, فيأتي أحدهم يقول أني فرقت بين الأخ وأخي, يقول له أحسن اجلس, يأتي الآخر يقول فرقت بين الأم وبنتها, يقول له أحسن اجلس, يأتي الآخر يقول فرقت بين الزوج وزوجته, يشير له بالبنان يقول أنت اللي فيه. ليه؟ لأنه لما يفصل بين الزوج وزوجته الآن يقسم المجتمع كاملا. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the hadith that Satan will sit on his throne or his chair, and he will send his soldier to mislead people. In the end of the day, they will come back to give the record or to make, you know, what they did in front of him. And one of them will say, I did dispute between the brother and his brother. And Satan will say, you did good, have a seat. Who's next? The second one will say, I did dispute between the mom and her daughter. He said, you're good, sit. And the other one will say, I made dispute between the husband and his wife. And Shaitan will be happy, said, you are the best one. Because he knows when we have dispute between husband and wife, we will split the whole society. You know, the husband will go in one side with his family and the friends, and the wife will go in the other side with her family and the friends, and the children, you know, will have mental problem later on. Because when they go on this side, they will hear something bad about the other side. When they go on the other side, they will hear something bad about the other side. And they will not trust anyone after that. Because the dad and the mom, they are the most people for the children to learn and to trust. When they figure out later on that they were cheating, they were lying, and they will not trust anyone after that. And we are destroying the whole society. You know, they will be a big tool to destroy the society, especially Islamic society, later on. And this is the danger of disputes between husband and wife. And this has never happened between Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his wife Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha wa arda. The last one today, just to finish all the manaqib of Sayyida Khadija, أنها خير نساء هذه الأمة. She was the best woman of this nation. This is how Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned. الحديث رواه سيدنا علي. You know, she will be his mother-in-law. And he narrated the hadith about his mother-in-law, Khadija, because Khadija, the mother of Fatima, and he's the husband of Fatima. Ali, karram Allahu wajha. He narrated the hadith that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Khayru nisa'iha Maryam, wa khayru nisa'iha Khadija." This hadith in al-Bukhari, and it's very in general hadith. But when we read, subhanAllah, how the scholars explain and make details for this hadith, and they said, خير نسائها أي خير نساء الدنيا في زمانها مريم. In her time, she was the best in her time. Like Jewish, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, you know, وَلَقَدْ اخْتَرْنَاهُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. We choose them above all العالمين. When? Today? No. In their time. In the time of Musa alayhi salam. Because only they were believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody else. And this is why Allah chose them in that time. But they claimed that they are the best even today. But this is incorrect information. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُ. The Jewish and the Christians, they claimed that they are the most beloved one to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quran respond back to them and said, no, it's not correct. Why Allah punished you if you are the most beloved one to him? قُلْ فَلِمَا يُعَذِّبْكُمْ بِذُنُوبِكُمْ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْ يَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. المهم, it's not our point, but just to see how the scholars of hadith really make explanation about the hadith خَيْرُ نِسَائِهَا مَرْيَمْ وَخَيْرُ نِسَائِهَا خَدِيجَةً. How? And they did some information, and they added some information to help us to understand the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Allah gave Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam jawami' al-kalim. Jawami' al-kalim means to say very short sentence, but has a lot of meaning. And this is how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, just very short sentence has a lot of meaning. We need, you know, books to explain the meaning of the word that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. And the first opinion, they said, خير نسائها أي نساء الدنيا في زمانها في زمان مريم هي العذراء البتول عليها السلام. وخير نسائها أي يعني خير نساء الدنيا في زمان خديجة إلى أن يرث الله الأرض ومن عليه. لأن لا يمكن أن يأتي بعد خديجة مثل خديجة. ربما بعض النساء يقلدن خديجة، لكن لا أحد يجرؤ أن يصل إلى منزلة خديجة رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. فهي لبناتنا ولنسائنا وأمهاتنا القدوة العالية، لكن لا أحد من النساء لا يمكن أن يصل إلى ما وصلت إليه خديجة، لأن الله نتذكر مرة أخرى أرسل لها سلاما خاصا لم يرسله لأحد. حتى مريم عليها السلام لما كلمها الله اختلفوا وناداها من تحتها، قالوا هل هو الله عز وجل، أهو عيسى عليه السلام أم هو جبريل؟ وطالما أنهم اختلفوا في المنادي معناها أن الأمر فيه احتمالات، لكن هذا صريح صحيح أن الله أرسل لخديجة سلاما خاصا وبشرها، وهذا من التبشير بالجنة، أن الله بنى لها بيت في الجنة، معناها هي من أهل الجنة يقينا خلاص. الأمر الآخر، هي خير نسائها مريم، وفي رواية أخرى أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أشار إلى السماء أن خير نسائها مريم، ثم أشار إلى الأرض وقال خير نسائها خديجة. فالعلماء قالوا إن مريم ماتت وروحها في السماء، ولذا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أشار بيده إلى السماء وقال خير نسائها فوق في السماء مريم لأنها ماتت، وخير نسائها هنا في الأرض خديجة. وهذا تأويل آخر. الحديث في صحيح البخاري، لكن يعني هذا التوضيح جاء في شروح البخاري، لايك فتح الباري شرح صحيح البخاري للإمام ابن حجر العسقلاني، وفي شرح آخر للإمام العيني له أيضا شرح لصحيح البخاري في هذه الشروح التي جاءت للحديث. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم شهد لها أنها خير نساء هذه الأمة، ودي منقبة عظيمة من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأم المؤمنين خديجة. كلمتي لأخواتي وأخوات المسلمات، لكنا حظ وافر في أنكن تقلدنا أم المؤمنين خديجة، وهي يعني لم تكن نبية ولم تكن رسولة، بل كانت إنسانة عادية، لكن الله عز وجل اجتباها وكرمها وفضلها بإخلاصها وصدقها وإخباتها لربها سبحانه وتعالى. يعني الواحد لما ينظر، المرأة لما تنظر كم تتمتع في الدنيا، لو أنها يعني نغصت على زوجها، أو أنها يعني أغضبت ربها أو أغضبت زوجها، كم حجم المتعة التي تتمتع به في هذه الدنيا الفانية؟ وليس هناك متعة على الإطلاق، لكن خلينا نفترض جدلا أنها ستتمتع يوم يومين سنة سنتين، فالدنيا قصيرة فانية، لا لكنها ستخسر الحياة الأبدية. والله عز وجل يعني أعطانا يعني نموذج، يعني ربما لو كانت السيدة خديجة كمريم العذراء نقول يعني يأتيها وحي من الله عز وجل، الله سبحانه وتعالى أوحى إليها كما أوحى إلى أم موسى، لكن كانت إنسانة عادية خالص، يعني إنسانة بسيطة سبحان الله، لكنها بإخلاصها وحبها لربها وحبها لزوجها كافأها الله عز وجل مكافأة لا يكافئها بشر على الإطلاق. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يرزق بأحد من الأولاد إلا منها، وهذا أيضا منقبة لها أنها أم أولاده عليه الصلاة والسلام. فالمرأة إذا رزقها الله زوجا صالحا ورزقها الله أولادا صالحين فينبغي عليها أن تشكر الله رب العالمين. هذه منقبة للنساء، الله عز وجل جعلها لهن أنها إذا صلت خمسها وصامت شهرها وحفظت فرجها وأطاعت زوجها قيل لها ادخلي الجنة من أي الأبواب شئت. سبحان الله، منقبة حتى مش موجودة للرجال، يعني فين اديني حاجة كده الرجال يقول لك المرأة حقها مهضوم في الإسلام. الإسلام كرم المرأة أعظم تكريم، يقول لك أنت لو صليتي الخمس صلوات بتوعك وصمت الشهر بتاعك اللي هو شهر رمضان وحفظتي الفرج بتاعك من فعل المعاصي والشهوات وأطعتي زوجك، يعني ما فيش جزاء ليكي إلا إن الله عز وجل ادخلي الجنة من أي الأبواب شئتي، يا بختك عند الله عز وجل. لكن الشيطان زي ما احنا اتكلمنا مش ممكن هيسيب الأمور تمشي في أمن وأمان وسلامة واطمئنان، لابد ينغص ولابد يجيب مشاكل من تحت الأرض عشان عايز يخرب البيت، عايز يكسر الحياة القائمة القافلة السائرة إلى الله عز وجل. يعني I will conclude my speech today about the hadith of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم because a lot of people the enemies of Islam they claim that Islam did not give the woman her right but it's wrong statement. The Islam gave women all the rights and the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned hadith if the woman prays her five times every day and she fasts her month which is the month of Ramadan and she protected her private part to stay away from zina, to stay away from adultery and she obeyed her husband. These are four tasks for women. If they did these four things, you know what is the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We do not have this luck like them. They are lucky more than us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell her in the day of judgment, enter into paradise from any gate that you wish. You would like to enter from the gate of fasting, al-rayyan, or the gate of salah, or the gate of sadaqah, or of the gate. This is up to you. Choose any way, any gate to enter into paradise. And this is big honor from Allah Azza wa Jalla for women. But the enemies of Islam, they try to change their mind. You know, to change our sister's mind. You know, to push her to take her hijab out or to act as a naked woman or to have her own opinion. You know, I have the half of the house and I have the half of the heritage. You know, subhanallah, if they go through divorce, they will divide 50-50. Like when they were in business together and they close the business and they will divide, you know, 50-50. We have to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created us and He knows what is the good situation for us or good condition for us, male or female. And we should not act in a strange way. We have just to submit ourselves to Allah Azza wa Jal and to accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did for us. Is the Isha passed?
3 minutes.
3 minutes? Well, we still have time, alhamdulillah. Yeah. This is the marriage between Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sayyidah Khadija, and really I wish for all spouses to learn and to study. And this is as a guidelines. You still have time to go back and to just Google it. What the information about marriage of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Khadija radiyallahu anha wa ardaha in your own language, to understand and to learn more about this relationship between Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his wife Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiyallahu anha wa ardaha. We're gonna move to other occasion happened in the life of Prophet Muhammad I mentioned Prophet Muhammad get married from Khadija when he was 25 years old and stay with her other 25 years, yeah, because she passed away when Prophet Muhammad was 50 years old. Make sense? He spent, you know, a quarter of the century with her. When the husband get married for 2-3 years, they start fighting and they, subhanAllah, what's going on? You know, she never listened to me. She always gave me hard time. She always making me down, subhanAllah. And Prophet Muhammad spent 25 years with Sayyidah Khadija and she never gave him hard time in the beginning of Islam or after long time of their marriage. When Prophet Muhammad reached 35 years old after his marriage, 10 years, there is a big occasion happened in Mecca. Who knows? Big occasion happened, you know, the Kaaba get burned in that time, and the people of Quraysh, there is no Islam yet, because it was before the prophethood for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 5 years. He was 40 years old when Allah sent Jibreel down to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the revelation. He was 35 years old. We will mention it quickly for these 10 minutes between Adhan and Iqam, inshallah. And the people of Quraysh, they decided to destroy the Kaaba and rebuild the Kaaba again, stronger than before. But they were afraid, because even if they are disbelievers, but they still have the censor, this is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they did not want to make it until the man, his name, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad, Al-Waleed ibn al-Mughira. Al-Waleed ibn al-Mughira, you know, just he tried to help them out. Nothing wrong. Our intention is good. We try to rebuild the Kaaba again and to do something good for the Kaaba. It's not something bad. But everybody was afraid to take the old stones and just to remove all the stones of the Kaaba and to start build it again. And he started by himself, and he hold the ox and start to dig into the wall of the Kaaba, and everybody was watching what will happen to him. After a while, nothing happened, and all of them come together and they remove all the stones of the Kaaba and they start build the Kaaba again. And after a while, they complete the building of the Kaaba. But there is a big problem now. You know, Arabs, the tribe of Arabs, really they have very sensitive situation when the issue comes into, you know, a riada, or who is in charge, or who has a good reputation, you know, among all the tribes. And the time that they are able to put the black stone, al-hajar al-aswad, aw al-hajar al-as'ad, ayyuhuma asah, which one is correct? Al-aswad or al-as'ad? Al-aswad, both of them are correct. Al-aswad, you know, al-hajar al-aswad, it was white, whiter more than the milk. The hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was a stone from paradise, yaqut min yaqut al-jannah, you know, it was white, but from the sins of Bani Adam become dark, become black, and even only the top of the stone is black, but the rest of the stone, the scholar, they said the major of the stone almost one dhira', almost 110 centimeters in deep inside the Kaaba. The rest of the stone is white, very white, but the top of the stone, because people are touching the top of the stone, this is the reason why the top of the stone become black now, or become dark, because of the sayyi'at Bani Adam, or dhunub Bani Adam. Al-Hajar al-As'ad, we might have next time more explanation about Al-Hajar al-As'ad or Al-Hajar al-Aswad, but today I would like to really focus for the action of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he was very wise and intelligent person. He was able to be a leader, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even before the prophethood. And this is, I'm talking to our youth today. You know, you have to pay attention for your actions, for your words. Even when you're still young, in early age, high school or college age, it's still, you know, people will look at you and your actions in different way. And I wish if all of them are here, but I know some of them, they left, I saw them, but I hope that Allah will return them back for Salah, inshallah. You know, kun Aba Dhar, Sayyidina Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narju min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yaj'alahum mithla Sayyidina Abi Dhar al-Ghifari. لما وصلوا إلى وضع الحجر الأسعد أو الحجر الأسود في مكانه بدأوا القتال. كل قبيلة تريد أن تنال شرف وضع الحجر الأسود في مكانه في الكعبة. واحتدم الخلاف بينهم إلى أربعة أو خمسة أيام كما ذكره المؤرخون في كتب السير. When they rebuilt the Kaaba again, and the time to put the black stone in its place at the corner of the Kaaba, all the tribes, they were fighting who has the ability, who has a chance to take the honor that he put the black stones in its place in the Kaaba. And they were fighting. 4 or 5 days, they almost to start a big war, because each tribe, they want to have the chance to put Al-Hajar al-Aswad in its place. And there is a wise man, when he looked at the situation, you know, they have good intention to put Al-Hajar al-Aswad in its place, but how to make it? How to resolve the problem? And he suggested them, we have to wait for the first one will enter into the masjid, and he will be the judge between us. Are you agree, guys? All the tribes, that they said, we agree. You are wise men. And see, who was the first one to enter into the masjid after this promise. Sallu alayhi. He was 35 years old. In our culture, you know, when the person still has his dad alive, even if he reached 60 years old, he cannot say his opinion until, you know, his dad give him permission. Don't look at the environment here. They taught them from early age, you know, if you feel something not normal, we're gonna play the game for, you know, the thief and the police officers, you know, call 911. Subhanallah. And even for the head stars, they teach them in this way. But back home, you know, people respect the older people. In that time, Sayyidina Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was 35 years old. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a chance to be a judge for all these, you know, leaders for the tribes. And when he came, and it will help us to learn how to be wise. When you have the situation, how you will really calculate all these matters together and to give a good advice or make a good decision right away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he came and he understood what's the problem, they told him, we finished the Kaaba already, we rebuilt the Kaaba, and now we have the black stone, we want to put it in its place over there. And he's the judge now, what he did, who knows? Yes, the abaya, you know, and he back home, the older people, or you know, the honored people, like the mayor here, to have a nice dressing, you know, and the top of his, you know, regular dress, and he took one of them, you know, and he put it on the floor. Look, and he hold the black stone by his hand, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's big honor. Look, how many tribes around him? No one can touch the stone because, you know, it will be a lot of blood. No one can come close to the stone. Prophet Muhammad, and this is big chance from Allah Azza wa Jal. It's by Allah's plan. Allah planned for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give them an idea, who's this person? You know, after 5 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will choose him to make him a prophet and the last final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he hold the big black stone and he put in the side, in the middle of this abaya or this garment, like a blanket. And he called, you know, the leader of each tribe. Yeah, this leader and this leader and this leader. And he told, each one will hold one corner of this blanket or this abaya. And they hold together and they moved into the Kaaba. And again, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam hold the black stone by his hand and he put it in its place. And he resolved the problem. Everybody was happy, subhanAllah, but they did not realize this is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How come for those people to deny his message later on? You will agree with his judgment. You were happy when he did something wisely, but why you reject his message later on after that? And this is just the story of وضع الحجر الأسعد أو الحجر الأسود في مكانه في الكعبة. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان عمره يعني 35 سنة. ولما بنوا الكعبة مرة أخرى اختلفوا من له شرف وضع الحجر الأسود في مكانه. واحتدم الخلاف وبدأ الأمر أن تنشب حرب عارمة بين القبائل العرب كلها، كل واحد عايز ينول شرف وضع الحجر في مكانه. فكان فيهم رجل يعني مسن وكان حكيم، قال ننتظر إلى أول من يدخل إلى المسجد نحكمه بيننا، وأي حاجة يحكم بها إحنا لا ينبغي علينا أن نلتزم بها. قالوا نعم الرأي ما قلت. فقيض الله عز وجل، شوف ربنا هيئ الأسباب كلها. وكان أول واحد يخش المسجد الحرام في هذا الوقت سيدنا النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، صلى الله عليه وسلم. لما دخل شرحوا له الحكاية وفهم الموقف وتصرف صلى الله عليه وسلم بحكمة بالغة، يعني سبحان الله، وكأنه وحي من الله عز وجل، هو لم يوحى إليه بعد، لكن الله عز وجل ألهمه الحل الأصوب والحل الأمثل حتى يحقن الدماء وحتى يجبر الآخرين أن يلينوا ويخضعوا لقراره صلى الله عليه وسلم. فهذا يعني صنع على عين الله سبحانه وتعالى. النبي فهم المشكلة وطلب منهم يعني عباءة وضعها، ثم حمل الحجر الأسعد بيديه الشريفتين ووضعه في وسط هذه العباءة، ثم طلب من كل قبيلة الزعيم بتاعها يأتي إلى هنا، ثم أمرهم أن يحملوا كل واحد منهم الزعماء دول يحملوا طرف من الثوب، وحملوا جميعا الثوب ولم يلمس أحد منهم الحجر. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هو الذي حمله بيديه الشريفتين، ثم ذهبوا إلى الكعبة وحمله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مرة أخرى ووضعه في مكانه في الكعبة. يعني قرار حكيم وتصرف في غاية الحكمة وفي غاية الروعة عليه الصلاة والسلام. هذا يعطينا يعني بالذات الشباب يعني ينبغي عليهم ألا يأخذوا حياتهم يعني بهذه الترهات أو هذه مضيعة الأوقات. يقول لك يا عم إحنا يعني ما تشدش عليه لسه الولد صغير ولسه مش عارف، سبحان الله. فلابد أن هم يهيئوا يصنعوا على عين الله سبحانه وتعالى منذ نعومة أظفارهم، لأنهم سيكونون قادة للدنيا بأسرها. يعني sooner or later they will be in a future leaders إن شاء الله سبحانه وتعالى. This is what we have tonight. I will stop here and we're gonna continue inshallah for next time for the other occasions in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I think next time we will start with the first revelation will come to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was 40 years old. Now we stay at the 35 years old for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and next time we're gonna continue inshallah for the other occasions after that. جزاكم الله خيرا، تقبل الله منا ومنكم، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We will have أذان and إقامة inshallah right away. After Umrah, inshallah. Yes, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. And also we have next week we have a family night fun for the whole community, you know, because we might really did not have a chance to hear about the announcement, but inshallah, just prepare yourself for your children, for your family. It will be the last night before going to Umrah, inshallah, to remember us in your supplication, inshallah. Yes.
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين.
ولو أن أهل القرى آمنوا واتقوا لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء والأرض ولكن كذبوا فأخذناهم بما كانوا يكسبون أفأمن أهل القرى أن يأتيهم بأسنا بياتا وهم نائمون أوأمن أهل القرى أن يأتيهم بأسنا ضحى وهم يلعبون أفأمنوا مكر الله فلا يأمن مكر الله إلا القوم الخاسرون أولم يهد للذين يرثون الأرض من بعد أهلها أن لو نشاء أصبناهم بذنوبهم ونطبع على قلوبهم فهم لا يسمعون تلك القرى نقص عليك من أنبائها ولقد جاءتهم رسلهم بالبينات فما كانوا ليؤمنوا بما كذبوا من قبل كذلك يطبع الله على قلوب الكافرين وما وجدنا لأكثرهم من عهد وإن وجدنا أكثرهم لفاسقين ثم بعثنا من بعدهم موسى إلى فرعون وملئه فظلموا بها فانظر كيف كان عاقبة المفسدين وقال موسى يا فرعون إني رسول من رب العالمين حقيق على أن لا أقول على الله إلا الحق قد جئتكم ببينة من ربكم فأرسل معي بني إسرائيل قال إن كنت جئت بآية فأت بها إن كنت من الصادقين فألقى عصاه فإذا هي ثعبان مبين ونزع يده فإذا هي بيضاء سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين بعثنا من بعدهم موسى بآياتنا إلى فرعون وملئه فظلموا بها فانظر كيف كان عاقبة المفسدين وقال موسى يا فرعون إني رسول من رب العالمين حقيق على أن لا أقول على الله إلا الحق قد جئتكم ببينة من ربكم فأرسل معي بني إسرائيل قال إن كنت جئت بآية فأتي بها إن كنت من الصادقين فألقى عصاه فإذا هي ثعبان مبين ونزع يده فإذا هي بيضاء للناظرين قال الملأ من قوم فرعون إن هذا لساحر عليم يريد أن يخرجكم من أرضكم فماذا تأمرون قالوا أرجه وأخاه وأرسل في المدائن حاشرين يأتوك بكل ساحر عليم وجاء السحرة فرعون قالوا إن لنا لأجرا إن كنا نحن الغالبين قال نعم وإنكم لمن المقربين قالوا يا موسى إما أن تلقي وإما أن نكون نحن الملقين قال ألقوا فلما ألقوا سحروا أعين الناس واسترهبوهم وجاءوا بسحر عظيم وأوحينا إلى موسى أن ألق عصاك فإذا هي تلقف ما يأفكون فوقع الحق وبطل ما كانوا يعملون فغلبوا هنالك وانقلبوا صاغرين وألقي السحرة ساجدين قالوا آمنا برب العالمين رب موسى وهارون الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاكم الله خيرا for attending the lecture about Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم today. May Allah reward all of you. May Allah accept our good deeds. May Allah forgive all of the sins. Allahumma. Just, I have a story today about, you know, the virtues of the knowledge or to learn the Islamic, authentic Islamic knowledge. One day, you know, everybody knows Imam Abdul Qadir al-Jilani. Imam Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, this is a big, you know, head for Sufi tariqah. But he has no relation what they did after he passed away. One day, he was praying and he heard the voice talking to him directly and to say to him, "O Abdul Qadir, I am your Lord. And just, you don't need to pray anymore. You know, just to realize when the person really knowledgeable, especially Islamic knowledge or the authentic Islamic knowledge, he will, you know, realize right away that there is something wrong. When he heard the voice, that somebody talking to him to say, oh Abdullah, Abdul Qadir, oh Abdul Qadir, I am your Lord and I dropped the salah. You don't need to pray anymore. Can you imagine if somebody, you know, talking to you, he was praying during, you know, by himself and he heard somebody talking to him, قل يا عبد القادر إني أنا ربك فقد أسقطت عنك الصلاة. خلاص أنت ما محتاج تصلي. ولذلك عند الإخوانا في الصوفية عندهم level, they have a level they call the stage of يقين, certainty. If any sheikh of them reached this stage, he doesn't need to pray anymore because he the موصول الآن. He connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't need to pray because prayers for, you know, regular people in, like me and you, but not like big shuyukh in their tariqah. Anyway, لما سمع هذا النداء قال له يا عبد القادر إني أنا ربك وقد أسقطت عنك الصلاة. لا تحتاج أن تصل. ماذا قال؟ تخيل لو أنت سمعت الصوت كده بقى وانت قريب من الله عز وجل وانت يعني تصلي يعني قيام الليل والتهجد ويعني عالم قطب من اقطاب العلم عبد القادر الجيلاني رحمه الله. فقال اخسأ يا عدو الله. عرف ان هو الشيطان. لماذا؟ قال فان الله لم يفرض امرا على عباده ثم ينزعه بعد ذلك. ناخذها قاعده. عمر الله عز وجل ما يفرض شيء على العباد ثم يقول لهم بعد كده خلاص ما عادش له لازمه الامر ده. لان امر الله عز وجل محكم يعني لا يمكن ان يتغير ولا ان يتبدل. فعبد القادر الجيلاني رحمه الله he got the message when he heard the voice somebody talking to him to say, oh عبد القادر, I am your Lord and you do not need to pray anymore. That's it. You know, you are free. And he realized, this is the voice of who?
Shaitan.
Satan. And he said, اخسأ يا عدو الله. I don't know how to translate it. You know, shrink or what how to say it. اخسأ. لغة عربية مش هتلاقي لها ترجمة في الانجليزي. You know, shut up. Yeah, shut up. Yeah. Oh, enemy of Allah. Shut up. Yeah, subhanAllah. Because Allah will never command his servant to do something and he will change it later on. And this is the rule. Allah will never obligate us to do something and later on will say, you know, you don't need to do this anymore. No. And this is just why I mentioned this story today. For all of us, we have to be very careful when we get into a situation, a good situation with Allah Azza wa Jal. We might have shaitan really whispering to us, you know. MashaAllah, you stay at the masjid, MashaAllah, for 2 hours tonight. You spend good time. You know, you, inshaAllah, you will be among the people of paradise. Don't worry. Look at other people who drunk or the people who's dealing with the backbiting or the one who's dealing with the adultery. No. You are good. Yeah. To يأتيك من باب, yeah. يعني يأتيك من باب الكبر ومن باب الغرور. الشيطان يعني عصى الله عز وجل من باب الكبر والغرور. قال أنا خير منه. When you feel that you much better than everybody else, this is big problem now. You have to sit with yourself. I know one scholar, may Allah shower him with his mercy, Imam الشعراوي رحمه الله. One day, he's a famous scholar back home in Egypt. He passed away. And he's a real scholar. One day, his driver drove him back. He had a meeting and he going back to his house. And he told the driver, stop in one village in his way back to his house. And he entered into the small mosque in this village and he was cleaning the bathrooms of the masjid. And the driver, you know, he felt that the imam, he stay long time inside the masjid, maybe something bad happened to him. And he went back after him to look for him. And he found him, you know, tied his clothes around his waist and cleaning the bathrooms of that masjid in that small village back home. And he asked him, "What are you doing, oh big imam?" You know, he's a, you know, big imam in Egypt. And he said, I felt that I feel proud because I did something, you know, in the previous time, and I have to put myself on the spot. Honored from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. I mentioned the story today just to keep doing what we doing, alhamdulillah, to attend for these lectures, you know, to soften our hearts and to increase our faith, to increase our iman. In Sahaba, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Rawaha, he's the companion of Rasulullah, used to hold his brother's hand and to tell him, "Oh my brother, sit, اجلس بنا نؤمن ساعة, sit for a while to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to soften our hearts. فإن القلوب أشد تقلبا من القدر إذا استجمع غليانها. Our hearts are not settable. You know, you might be happy today, you will be unhappy tomorrow. You might be, you know, satisfied now, you might be unsatisfied after a few minutes. Because our heart, it's not in the settable situation. The heart changes every time more than, you know, the boiling water. You see how the boiling water inside the pan, just to have different situation all the time. And those are the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How about us? We are not the companions. We are so busy with our life and our children and our families. But at least as much as we can, you know, I don't like to hold you more than this, Ayana, just go back to your family and your wife and your children, but promise just to take advantage as much as you can to come back again, inshallah. And when you have a chance, you know, help your child to know where is the direction for the masjid in the town. Help them out. Show them, train them how they will find the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khairan. May Allah reward all of you. Inshallah, next Saturday, we have the family fun night for everybody, all the family members, the children, girls, boys, adults, male and female, at the masjid here, inshallah, azzawajal. Mark your calendar and see you, inshallah, sooner. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Yes, the first week of January, we have no lecture for Seerah because we will come back from Umrah in just the night before that. It will be so hard. Allah knows. We will be in good condition or not, but inshallah we will cancel it. If we have, I will send the message inshallah for all of you. But inshallah we will cancel it now until we will see inshallah azza wa jalla. Jazakumullahu khairan. We have the sign sheet outside to write your name and your phone number and your email to receive any announcement from the masjid or to receive any occasion from the masjid, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I know. شغال؟ الله هو نسيو؟ شغال صح. يا
مهندس احمد اخذتك النوم.
يلا يا عم السلام عليكم. ما شاء الله على السلامة حبيبي. وانا اقول الدنيا مدوره والدنيا دفت. ها قلت لنا شويه دفت مش الحمد لله على السلامة حبيبي. الله يبارك في حضرتك يا رب.